Cozart under center. Hands off. Herbert, big hole. He's got the first down and more. Herbert to midfield. He's at the 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. Tripped at the 2. He falls in. Touchdown. What a run for Khalil Herbert.
That was pretty much the main highlight offensively for the Jayhawks this past weekend as they fall to the Memphis Tigers. 43-7 was the final. And we're joined now by Brian Haney and Brian's appearance here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill in Beloit or call them at 738-5701. So you're sponsored now, Brian. So now you really got to bring the good stuff.
Man, no kidding. We're going to try and bring better stuff than what we brought you last week heading into Memphis, and hopefully some good news coming out of Lubbock here in a week. But good time to get the open date. It's not a true rest-up, get-healthy bye week when you play on a Thursday the next week, but on the heels of what was obviously a very disappointing trip down to face the Tigers, and a trip in which you lost several guys to injury, probably a good time to have an open Saturday.
Well, let's start with the positives, and to me, the biggest positive was the way the defense performed. They had to defend the short field because all the turnovers by the offense, and really, all in all, the defense did a pretty good job.
Completely agree. I think that's a great observation on your part. You look at the last couple of ball games and the turnovers that the KU has committed. On the season, 11 turnovers offensively and on special teams combined, and just 22 points off turnovers have been allowed. That's remarkable, especially when you consider some of the short fields that you just spoke to. You know, you go back to that Ohio game, and those turnovers were all in KU's own end of the field, and in some cases pretty deep in their own end of the field. And yet, each time the defense buckled down and held them to 3. I thought the defense played well enough to win that football game on Saturday if you had anything coming from the offense. And obviously, when you have 6 turnovers, whether you're at home, on the road, or on Mars, you're going to have a hard time winning football games. But especially when you're on the road, when your margin for error is so much smaller anyway, to have those 6 turnovers was huge. But and we can get into why that was. I'd be more than happy to talk about that. But you asked about the defense. Let's keep the spotlight on them for a second. Not only was it impressive in the damage control that they were able to do, but I think you have to also consider the way they had starters dropping like flies in that first quarter. I mean, we had 3 defensive starters get nicked up, including Joe Dineen, who's going to miss a couple of weeks now, it sounds like. 3 in the first quarter of the game. And Josh Klingner was running out of room on his spotting boards to write down who was healthy and who wasn't down on the sidelines trying to keep us updated on everything. And so that was adding injury to insult and even more adversity early. And yet the way that they were able to, in the face of that, stand up and still get some stops, I thought was really impressive and admirable. And you're trying to build depth, when you're working your way up from the situation that KU's in. We've talked about it on previous reports, what David Beatty inherited. And I think you saw some of that defensive depth being built with the way certain guys were able to stand up and fill in. I thought Dorrance Armstrong and Marquise Roberts, a couple of starters, played their best games of the season and some of the best games of their Jayhawk careers. Dorrance with 3 TFLs, 2 sacks. Marquise Roberts was blowing up plays left and right behind the line of scrimmage as well. And great to see those guys really kind of break out a little bit. And especially with Marquise's performance, you hope that with Joe now out for a couple of weeks, Marquise can really be that go-to guy in the linebacking core.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. And Brian joins us every Thursday at 9:30 to talk KU Athletics. Well, so we talked about the positive, the defense. Certainly the offense has a lot of work to do, and we talked about all the turnovers. And something that really stood out is the types of turnovers that KU had. The quarterback play wasn't great, and some decisions made under center really came back to bite the Jayhawks.
They did, and I think we have to start with the center to quarterback exchange, because it wasn't just about a low snap here or a high and wide snap there. It was about playing with a third string guy because your first 2 guys were injured, and you had to start the game in that third string center mode. And that's something that Coach Beatty did a good job of keeping close to the vest throughout the week, so that the opposition didn't have the ability to game plan from that. But obviously, when they come out there for the first offensive series, you can see, okay, that's normally a guard, now playing center. That's a seldom used underclassman who, Bragg, by the way, is a 4-star recruit who is in a sophomore year that really they feel like has a bright future, but he's not a true center and he was being pressed into duty. And Memphis realized that real fast. And they started blitzing the gap to his right and to his left. They started pushing his head down just as soon as he snapped that football. And the snaps got wild and wide and high and low. And, you know, the pressure coming on the quarterbacks, I think, contributed to some of those decisions. Now, not every turnover was there pressure on the quarterback immediately in his face on that throw necessarily. But I think the duress that these guys were under over the course of the day kind of had an accumulative effect there over the course of, you know, 4 hours of that. And Bragg's going to get better. And the good news is they're getting healthy in front of him, so you won't be in that spot again. But you want to be down to your third string anything. You certainly want to be down to your third string color analyst or play-by-play guy, let alone your third string center who has such an important job in getting the ball to your quarterback. And so that's not to make excuses for Montel or Ryan or anybody, because obviously Montel played his worst game of the season. But I think when you have such a integral part of that offensive sequence with a lack of continuity and obviously a lack of consistency in getting the ball back to the quarterback in the center of his belly in stride on time, I think that obviously wrecked some havoc on these Hawks. And clearly some of the turnovers were caused by that. Others weren't, but I think it really got KU off at, you know, playing from the eight ball, from behind the eight ball, playing from behind a little bit when you have that type of setback up front.
Special teams weren't as special as they needed to be in week two against Ohio. How did Coach Beatty and the coaching staff grade out the special teams units against Memphis?
Well, I think Memphis was special on special teams. Memphis was superior because they did something really, really well in flipping the field and field position almost every single time they had a chance. You know, we didn't see the same fumble issues that we saw the week before versus Ohio. But there were a couple of punts where you probably wish KU comes up and is able to make a play on the ball rather than letting it bounce and get behind them a little bit. But what folks that didn't watch or listen to the game might not know, Memphis, kind of like Wade Gerstner's scramble format where he's got that heavy hitter off the tee. That's probably Wade. But then he recruits a short game player who's deadly with the lob wedge and the sand wedge and the gap wedge. Well, they have that long-range punter, and then they have that guy that's just throwing darts at the pin and spinning it back, you know, 6 feet from the cup, to use the golf analogy. They had a specialist that's a 40-yard and in short punter and then a booming long punter. And the specialist, Nick Jacobs, he kept pinning Kansas inside the 10 every single time. And, you know, Kansas has a couple of punters, too. We've only seen Cole Moose to this point. But it's rare to see, you know, this type of specialist unit work as well as it did for Memphis. I really thought they were exceptional. And so a lot of special teams critiques as they pertain to Kansas start with tipping the cap to Memphis, because they did everything they could to keep KU off of their side of the field and pin KU back deep in their own end. And I really thought that was some of the best special teams play we'd seen all year from any game I've watched this year, not just the KU games.
Just for the record, I'm the designated golf cart driver.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Well, everybody's got to play a role.
Yeah, exactly. That's my role, because if I'm the long guy off the tee in a scramble format, it's going to be a long day for our group. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I can hit a long way into the trees and a long way into the water. If that counts for length, I'll go with that. How's your golf game? You getting much time to play much golf?
Man, I haven't played in months. I've hardly played in years, but looking forward to eventually getting the sticks back out. A lot of opportunities in the spring and summer to come across the state and see you guys out that way.
That would be great.
The Jayhawk event. So, yeah, I got to dust off the driver and work on my putting stroke, and maybe we'll get after it.
That sounds good. We can work on that. Okay, so you mentioned KU doesn't play this weekend, and then they open up Big 12 play at a place you're pretty familiar with. You're the former voice of Texas Tech in Lubbock next Thursday, and we'll talk more about that matchup, I know, next week. But for David Beatty, what is the plan now when you have this extra time and not have a game this weekend? Because there's so many things that the Jayhawks can work on.
Well, I think it's a situation where they've got some issues of their own to shore up before they spend a whole bunch of extra time on Tech. Now, obviously, Tech offensively is a team you'd like to have a month to get set for when Patrick Mahomes is averaging 498 passing yards per game and north of 540 total yards per game. They've got skill position talent all up and down that roster. You know, two great backs in Stockton and Felton. They could score on any given touch of the football. Some great receivers that we've seen Mahomes find chemistry with in these first three games. But I think for KU, when you have some self-inflicted wounds like they did this past week with the 6 turnovers. It starts with looking yourself in the mirror and trying to work on some of those fundamental things. And like I said, some of that will be helped by getting back your first two centers, first and second string. But there's other things, too. And obviously, you know, they're working on the quarterback position. And I think Coach Beatty would like to commit to one guy as we go into this season deeper. And a lot's been made of how do you divvy up the reps. And really, the way he's been doing it in practice, you know, whoever the one is, he's only getting maybe 3 or 4 more reps on a given day, you know, in terms of the sequences in which they go out there, whether it's 5-5-5-5 or 6-4-6-4. You know, they're going to wind up getting a pretty close amount of reps between Willis and Cozart. And I think eventually, you know, whether this is the week where you see separation and you start to divvy those up differently or not, I think he would like to start to make a decision on one guy and allow that guy to get in a rhythm a little bit more. But for anybody that's wondered, man, you know, is Willis not getting as much opportunity to get better on a daily basis because of Cozart and all that, it's been pretty close. The differences on Saturdays where you want to see progress within the game haven't been as stark of a contrast from one to the other to provide some separation. And, you know, there's columnists out there pinning, should they go to Carter Stanley? Clearly he's in the mix too. But I know that, you know, Coach Beatty really felt strongly about the way Montel Cozart was playing to start this season. And while maybe Saturday warrants a change, keep in mind that's just one performance. I think sometimes we as football fans are over-reactionary, knee-jerk reactionary, because we only get 12 dates all year.
Right.
And so it would be like a baseball player having 7 bad games in a row and going like 0-for-28 on the week if you have 1 bad football game. And so we freak out and we think, oh my gosh, you know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling. But maybe they will warrant a change. I'm not sure. I would just caution Kansas fans to think it's a slam dunk that Montel's out based on Saturday's performance, because last week we sat here on these same reports and we told you about how completion percentage was up by 14 points. His passer efficiency rating was up by 60 points from last season to this season. And so clearly things went south fast, but I don't know that we'll necessarily see a wholesale swap there. We'll have to wait and see what next Thursday brings.
Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit here on the Sports Ticket. Okay, shifting gears, Late Night in the Fog is coming up very quickly, October the 1st, and I've been reading about how Carlton Bragg has beefed up. Can you tell us how much more muscle he has and how much more he weighs? He seems to be pretty proud of that.
Yeah, he did, and he's looking good, man. He said that when he first arrived at KU, he was 215, and today, as he gets set for, well, now they're in the midst of boot camp, so they're probably losing weight as much as they're running right now. But as he gets set for Late Night in the Fog coming up here in about 9 days, he is at 245. So he's gained 30 pounds since setting foot on campus, and he says there is no bad weight. Now, I know you and me, I don't know about you, but some of your listeners and me probably put on the freshman 15, and then maybe we put on the sophomore 20. Well, he's been putting on weight too, but it's a different kind of weight he's putting on, man. He's putting on the good kind. So he looks lean, mean, chiseled, but thicker. And Landon Lucas was asked about this, you know, can he hang and bang down low with you guys a little bit more? He said, absolutely. I mean, he's looking really good. And that's encouraging. I mean, that's a guy you expect to really have a breakout season. And yet you look up and down this roster at other options, and there's going to be plenty of mouths to feed now. But great to see, you know, the commitment he made to his body in the off season. And, you know, this is same story, different day with Andrea Hootie. Look at the number of players and the metamorphosis that's gone on in the bodies of some of these guys. I mean, we really do feel like we have the best strength and conditioning coach in America, and this is another great example of that.
Freshman 15, for some people out there listening, and probably maybe a radio broadcaster here in North Central Kansas, that's being kind. That's being very kind.
Yeah.
Okay, KU volleyball team's ranked 8th in the country, and they're 12-1, and they open up Big 12 play, and a nice win for them over Oklahoma on Wednesday.
Yeah, no doubt. Excited to see that last night, and good to see a bounce back after the lone loss up there at Purdue. And, you know, they fell in the rankings to 8th, but, I mean, you come out of non-con with just the one blemish, and that was to a number 14 ranked team. And I think you head into the Big 12 feeling like this is our league. You know, we got a great shot to win this thing and build toward another deep NCAA tournament run. So there's a lot of excitement. I'll be honest with you, man, you can't even get tickets as a athletic department employee because it's sold out. You know, the basketball fans in the student section used to have those signs, ain't no seats. And they're going to have to start doing it at the Horse Center because it's sold out. They're working on additional game day elements, you know, adding video board components and stuff like that, because it's turned into the place to be. And I realize there's some of our listeners out there that probably only pay attention to the male sports, and I get that. But I'm telling you what, man, the hottest ticket in town, at least until Bill's team has the ball go up in the air in November right now, is Ray Bouchard's women's volleyball team, and understandably so. And it's really exciting to see what he's built here over the last 6 years of a gradual climb, and to see the Final Four last year coupled by a team that might be even better this year. It's definitely a hot, hot story.
And I'm guessing they've noticed maybe, too, the K-State women are now ranked in the top 25, so that would add a little spice to the rivalry there on the court.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see, you know, when they meet up, you know, in terms of the home and home, like how much traveling back and forth we see now. You don't think about your Olympic or non-revenue sports as sports you travel for necessarily outside of the parents, the close friends and all that, the true diehards.
Yeah.
But now with what I just told you about not being able to get tickets, it might be easier for Jayhawk volleyball fans to get seats in Manhattan. Then again, maybe not. But clearly, I think you're going to see a lot of back and forth between the two because great traditions in both places.
That's awesome. What does the Athletic Center hold there capacity-wise in Lawrence?
You know, I don't know the exact number, but it's in that like 18, 19 type range.
Okay.
You know, it might be in the 1600 type range. It's just under 2, I believe.
Okay.
But you know, it's definitely one of those deals where folks are asking the question: at what point do we need more seating? Talked about adding video board stuff. How do we put it more butts? You know, with chances to have seats out there. So we'll see if that's a conversation to be had on a later day.
Absolutely. All right, man. Time for off the wall question before we let you go. Are you
Sounds
ready?
Great.
All right, man.
Let's do it.
Here we go. We're going to go back into your childhood. We're going to get in the time machine. We're going to go back. Brian Heaney was a little boy. He was growing up, and his favorite toy to play with was what?
Wow, favorite toy to play with. I was a pretty sporty guy, so honestly, there weren't a ton of toys with indoor play. I was out in the backyard or on the driveway playing hoops, but I think all of us that were born in the 80s or mid-80s that had the 8-bit Nintendo,
yeah,
when we did play, we were playing RBI Baseball,
yes,
or Super Tecmo Bowl,
yes,
or you know, John Elway quarterback. I had Double Dribble for the basketball game, and so those were probably my favorite, you know, video game-type toys to play. And then, of course, we all had Duck Hunt. The question is, if you had Duck Hunt, did you put the gun all the way up to the screen and kind of cheat, or did you stand 5-6 feet back like you're supposed to and be plucking off those birds left and right like you're really supposed to? And if you had the track and field game with the pad that you jumped up and down on,
uh-huh,
did you truly jump up and down on it with your feet?
Yes.
Or did you get down on your hands and knees and go patter, 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 patter real fast to run as fast as you can? Because there were ways around these gun and running games if you kind of knew the tricks of the trade.
Did you have Mike Tyson's punch out?
I did. And I'm actually a huge sports memorabilia collector. And just the other day, I bought a signed photo, not of Mike himself, but of his video game character from that game, because it's such an iconic game.
That would be nice to have. Very nice to have. Have you seen the Bo Jackson commercial with the Tecmo Bowl? Have you seen the TV commercial?
I don't know if I have.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Well, if you played Tecmo Bowl, you know that Bo Jackson, you could run 99 yards like every single time with him. I remember they didn't have any kind of stat software in Tecmo Bowl, so I would write it down because I was big into numbers growing up. So I would have the Raiders, and I have Bo Jackson, and I keep track of his stats. And Bo Jackson like had 60,000 yards in one regular season, I think, one year. But Bo Jackson, you got that theme music in the Tecmo Bowl. He's in a car. I can't remember what the TV. It's for a car. Brand of car, I forgot what it was, maybe Sorento or something, Key, I don't know. Anyway, they have a picture of when you played Tecmo Bowl and Bo Jackson going up and down on the field. Remember that? It goes all over the place and around the defense,
sure,
and going circles. And then in the TV commercial, he reverts back and retreats through the tunnel back into the parking lot. And then there's the real life Bo Jackson in pads getting into a vehicle and then driving into the football field. And it shows the vehicle with him in it on the screen as if he's in the Tecmo game, driving the vehicle around the field, around the defenders. It was unique.
That's
and different.
Pretty awesome.
You got to check it out, man. It's pretty cool.
I'll Google that. Absolutely, man. That sounds great.
I did not cheat on Duck Hunt. I just want everybody to know I did not cheat on that. Did you cheat or not? Be honest.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
totally. Brian's totally, man.
To this day, for those that played Contra, up, down, left, right, B-A, B-A, select, start. Yes. You now have unlimited life. That's my gift to you today with Wade Gerstner, for those that forgot the unlimited life cheat code.
My news director is off to my left right now. He's listening in on an interview, and he just recited that at exactly the same time as you recited it. So both of you are you are both cheaters. Great to know. Great to know. Yeah, my news director said he was awesome at that stuff. Okay, Brian, before we let you go, I know you want to thank our sponsor that's making it all possible for us each week.
Yeah, thanks so much, Wade. I know you mentioned it already, the farm, the home, the auto, the life, the crop insurance, they do it all at Anderson Insurance Agency. So big thanks to Matt and Michelle. Appreciate them sponsoring these reports. And I'm going to do this all season, football, basketball. We'll take you into spring football in April. I'm hoping I'm calling you up from Phoenix in April at the Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all courtesy of the good folks there at Anderson Insurance Agency. So big thank you to them.
That sounds like a great plan. Brian, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy not having to call a football game this weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great, Wade. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance in Beloit.